The devil wants to keep us chained to the same old sin and the same old outcomes and the same old situations. But Jesus Christ wants us to live in liberty and to experience breakthroughs. So if you find that you're stuck, you've moved from city to city, but nothing has changed. You've moved from job to job, but nothing has changed. You've moved from man to man, but nothing has changed. You've moved from woman to woman, but nothing has changed. You should call on Jesus Christ to deliver you and break the chains off whatever spirit is holding you back. Don't get accustomed to falling into the same cycle. Don't get used to the chains of the enemy. The Amplified translation of Luke 10:19 says, "Listen carefully. I've given you authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions, and the ability to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy, Satan, and nothing will in any way harm you." When you hold on to the Word of God, when you have faith and claim the authority that you have been given by Jesus Christ, you can break free from every demonic stronghold. You can be free from every demonic chain, and you can stay free. So you may be asking the question like, how can I break free from the generational sins and curses of my family? What can I do to stop the dysfunctional behavior in my life? How can I be set free from cycles of depression? My answer is to tell you that Luke 10:19 says, "You have been given authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." Jesus Christ didn't die on a cross for you to be bound. He gave you power over the devil, and in the name of Jesus, there is curse-breaking power. In the name of Jesus, generational sins are broken. Now, I would like to give you 3 steps to make sure that you are always living in freedom and never bound by the enemy. The first step is that you should submit to the Lord and resist the devil. James 4, verse 7 tells us that if we will submit to God and resist the devil, that he will flee. But I believe that unless our lives are first submitted to Jesus Christ, then there is no way that we can effectively resist the devil. The second step is that you should walk in the truth. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4 says, "Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." The Bible is telling us that there should be commitment on our part to walk in the standard set by God's word. If we call ourselves Christians, we are expected to act like it. If we want to be Christ-like, then we ought to act and strive to be more like him. The third step is that you should have faith in God's word. Have faith in the word of God as your life depends on it, because it does. Romans 8, verse 11 says, "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Saints, we have authority over evil spirits. And when you realize this, you will not tolerate the chains that the enemy tries to place on you. Instead, you will live in complete freedom and liberty.
Every problem has its purpose. Valleys are there for our character development, for the maturing of our faith, rather than for our comfort. Everyone who experienced a miracle in the Bible had gone through their own valley experience. Job lost everything, but in the end, he came out of that valley knowing that God can restore what was lost with a double portion. Those who were blind and could not see, those who were sick and lame, those who were paralyzed or struck with leprosy, they all came out of that valley experience knowing that God is a healer. So, for whatever trial you are facing today, I would like to encourage you that your valley experience is there to strengthen you and not to destroy you.
Have I found it difficult to live right? Yes. Have I struggled with finding the discipline to pray on a daily basis? Yes. Has there been a day that went by when I didn't open my Bible? Of course. But here's what I found. As I reflected on my walk with God, I realized that the reason for my struggles, the thing that has caused me to have such a tough time, is the fact that I've been so reliant on my own strength. I've tried to do things on my own, but by myself, of course, I would find it hard to be at peace with all men, especially when they do me wrong. But if I pray for grace, if I allow the Holy Spirit to operate freely within me, I have the strength to let things go. I'm not going to be bothered by the petty things. Not everything done to me is worth me getting upset about. By myself, it's hard to live a life focused on Christ.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
In a world that offers so many glittery distractions. But if I pray for strength, if I admit my shortcomings, then His grace is sufficient for me. God's power is made perfect in my weakness. By myself, I just have too many limitations. I have emotions that mislead me. I have feelings that tempt me. I have thoughts that cloud my judgment. This is why you shouldn't try and rely on your own power and might. Because we all will fall short eventually if we try and do things on our own. So you may be in a position where, like me, you're struggling to do the work of God, to live righteously, to live a life pleasing to God. Well, I'd like to tell you to start calling on the strength of God. Because on your own, you'll never be able to win this battle against the devil. You need the power, the wonder-working power that's in the blood of Jesus. You need the power from the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Jesus said that because He knew. He knew that we would find it difficult to face life with our own strength. We're limited in our wisdom, in our knowledge. So we need the power and might that comes when we receive the Holy Ghost. Hear me when I say that we can and we should live by the power that's in the name of Jesus. Now the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, "Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name." And so what that means for us is that when it's hard, when it's difficult, and we feel weak, that is when we should call on the power that's in the name of Jesus, the name above every other name.
There must come a time when you, as a believer, must decide, "I will stand strong and follow the word of God, regardless of what I will have to give up and who I will have to let go of." There comes a time when you have to decide, "I will stand and do the godly thing. I will forgive even when it's hard to do, even when I've been hurt." There will come a time when you will have to decide to stand in faith, even when you can't see a way out of the situation that you're in. Now today, you may be under attack in some area of your life. You have tried everything to resolve it, but nothing is working. Nothing is changing. Dear friend, this is the time you ought to take a stand and believe. Believe in the power of the blood of Jesus. It will break you out of that bondage. Believe in the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. It can set you free. It can give you victory. And it can loose you from any evil hold. It's time to take a stand with the word of God against the forces of evil. Stand firm. Stand in confidence. Stand in righteousness. Psalm 56 verse 3 says, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?" We need to be men and women who put their trust in the Lord. And mind you, you will only ever be able to stand firm when your trust is secured in the Lord. So if you feel stuck, if you feel under attack, remember that the Bible says in Psalm 31, verse 24, "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord." Be strong, saints, and stand in faith. As you do this, the Lord is sure to rescue you. And so, as children of God, I believe that it's time to stand. Stand up and lift high His royal banner. You are an ambassador of the Most High. Stand up to the lies of the enemy. Stand up with the truth of the gospel. Stand up with the strength of the Holy Spirit. Stand up in God's strength. And I encourage you, as you stand in faith, pray and ask the Lord to be with you as you stand.
Tough times and difficulties can be a blessing for each of us as children of God. I say this because if you look throughout the Bible, many people have found themselves in troubling situations only for God to use those troubles to remind us that He is a great deliverer. He is a God who saves. And this should give us hope. This should give us peace and joy that we are not alone when tough times come into our lives. We are not forsaken. You see, we love to recite Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." But when the Bible tells us that, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me," we forget that the valley is still a place that we need to walk through. Yes, the Lord is my shepherd. Yes, He will supply all of my needs and make me to lie down in green pastures. But there is still a valley for me to go through. And the thing about valleys is that valleys for a child of God are not an accident or some sort of mistake. Your time is in fact ordered by the Lord. There is a purpose for your time in the valley. We must recognize that Christ has already won. We must realize His resurrection power is available to us as His children. We must release our lives to the leadership, to the counsel of the Holy Spirit, and we must continue to stand firm in the Word of God.
Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." And Galatians 1, verse 10 says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." What a comforting thought, that nothing we do for God is in vain. Not one act of kindness goes unnoticed or unseen by Him. In this life, there are many pursuits that ultimately lead to nowhere. Worldly success, material wealth, the empty applauses of strangers, those things won't get us anywhere. Every journey eventually has an end, and that end is often more disappointing than we would like. But try as we may, we could never stretch the boundaries of God's love. There is truly no end to our walk with Christ. In fact, as we go on, life with Him gets sweeter every day. God should not just be one part of our lives that we dedicate Sunday mornings. He should define the totality of our lives. He should be the center of everything we do. Even mundane things like eating and drinking can be done to His glory. How? The key is a spirit of gratitude. We are meant to do all things with an attitude of love and obedience towards the God who gives us the ability to enjoy all of life's blessings. When Jesus is the underlying motivation for everything we do, our lives will overflow with joy and peace. His grace supplies us with the ability to fully enjoy this life, as well as positively impact the lives of those around us. So whatever you do, do it for God.
The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." And on this topic of trust, when you think about it, we have been conditioned to trust our natural senses. We've been conditioned to trust in science. We're taught to trust information or advice that comes from credible sources that can be verified and fact-checked. But trusting in God, it requires us to go against everything we've been conditioned to do. Trusting in the Lord requires you to ignore what you can see or understand. Trusting in Him means that at times, you can take the doctor's advice, but accept that he or she does not have the final say. I would even go as far as saying trusting in God means ignoring what the news anchor is saying or what the economy is doing. I encourage you to let go. Let go of the need to know. Let go of the need for control. Let go of the whys, the hows, and whens, and simply say, "Not my will, Lord, but your will be done." That is trusting in the Lord with all your heart and mind and soul.
The Bible says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." The weapons of an intercessor, the strength of an intercessor, is derived from God alone. That's why the verse says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, meaning they are divinely powerful. They are supernatural in their effectiveness. You cannot fight the devil with your natural fists, but you can fight him through prayer. You can fight him by calling out to the Lord. You can fight him by going to Jesus in prayer. So I encourage you today to keep pushing in prayer. Don't be intimidated by the thought of spiritual warfare. Don't be afraid, but rather be prayerful, be resilient, and relentless, knowing that prayer is a fight. Exodus 17 presents us with a powerful lesson on prayer. In verse 9, we are told, Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our own men and go out to fight the Amalekites." Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought with the Amalekites, as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. There are several lessons to be learned from this passage of scripture. Moses went to pray away from the battle, to a quiet place. He didn't start praying from the front line, but he backed off some distance and goes up to a hill to pray. And this is the perspective that a child of God needs to have. We have to fight our battles in private. No need for an audience or spectators. No distractions. It's simply you in your prayer closet, and that's enough. A prayer closet allows intimacy with God. It becomes your war room. God acts in response to prayer. Each time Moses lowered down his hands in tiredness, the Amalekites began to win. And I believe this was God's way of teaching us that the battles we face as children of God are won and lost by prayer or lack of it. We need to rely on prayer and not on anything else. This spiritual war against the devil is an ongoing one for us as children of the Lord. So we need to remain under the blood of Jesus and in prayer if we're to overcome. Now, once again, whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites prevailed. When we pray, things happen. People are healed. Situations are altered. The broken are made whole again, and spiritual battles are won. But if we get distracted and let our guard down, the enemy has an opportunity to attack us when we cease praying. We inhibit the power of God at work in our lives. More prayer, more power. But the opposite is true. No prayer, no power. The beauty of the story of Moses is that it shows him to be human. Not this giant of faith who seems untouchable. Moses demonstrated that he is like us in prayer. He gets tired. He's frail, vulnerable, and weak. The same feelings that we experience. Moses got tired, but he persevered, and this is what we must do. We must persevere in prayer. We must keep pushing in prayer.